ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 22nd इट्स द बिगिनिंग ऑफ अ न्यू चैप्टर टाइटल्ड चैप्टर 20 यह आती ना चैप्टर 22nd नहीं श्री शुक उवाच मित्रयुष्यादिवोदाश च्यावनस्तत्सुतो नृपा सुदाशा सह देवोता सोमको जन्तु जन्मकृत। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami said, O King, the son of Divodasa was Mitrayu, and from Mitrayu came four sons named Chyavana, Sudhasa, Sahadeva, and Somaka. Somaka was the father of Jantu. There is no purport for several verses, so we'll just read the translation quickly. Somaka had 100 sons, of whom the youngest was Prishatha. From Prishatha was born King Drupada, who was opulent in all supremacy. From Maharaja Drupada, Draupadi was born. Maharaja Drupada also had many sons headed by Drishtadyumna. From Drishtadyumna came a son named Drishtaketu. All these personalities are known as descendants of Bharmyaswa or as the dynasty of Panchala. Another son of Ajamida was known as Riksha. From Riksha came a son named Samvarana, and from Samvarana, through the womb of his wife Tapati, the daughter of the sun god, came Kuru, the king of Kurukshetra. Kuru had four sons, Parikshi, Sudhanu, Janu, and Nishada. From Sudhanu, Suhutra was born, and from Suhutra, Chyavana. From Chyavana, Kriti was born. The son of Kriti was Uparichara Vasu, and among his sons headed by Brihadrata were Kushamba, Matsya, Pratyagra, and Chedipa. All the sons of Parichara Vasu became rulers of Chedi state. From Brihadartha, Kushagra was born. From Kushagra, Rishabha, and from Rishabha, Satyahita. The son of Satyahita was Pushpavan, and the son of Pushpavan was Jahu. Through the womb of another wife, Brihadartha begot two halves of a son. When the mother saw those two halves, she rejected, but then a she-demon named Jara playfully joined them and said, come to life, come to life. Thus the son named Jarasandha was born. From Jarasandha came a son named Sahadeva, and from Sahadeva, Somapi, and from Somapi, Shrutashva. The son of Kuru called Parikshi had no sons, but the son of Kuru called Janu had a son named Suratha. From Suratha came a son named Viduratha, and from whom Sarvabhama was born, and from Sarvabhama came Jayasena, from Jayasena Radhika, and from Radhika Ayutthayu. From Ayutthayu came a son named Akrodhana, and his son was Devatithi. The son of Devatithi was Riksha, the son of Riksha was Dilipa, and the son of Dilipa was Pratipa. The sons of Pratipa were Devapi, Shantanu, and Balika. Devapi left the kingdom of his father and went to the forest, and therefore Shantanu became the king of king. Shantanu in his previous birth was known as Mahabisha, had the ability to transform anyone from old age to youth simply by touching the person with his hands. Before, the king was able to make everyone happy for sense gratification, primarily by the touch of his hand. His name was Shantanu. Once when there was no rainfall in the kingdom for 12 years, and the king consulted his learned Brahminical advisors, they said, "You are faulty for enjoying the property of your elder brother. For the elevation of your kingdom and home, you should return the kingdom to him." Purport, a very short one. One cannot enjoy sovereignty or perform an Agnihotra Yajna in the presence of one's elder brother, or else one becomes a usurper known as Parivetta. Sukadev Goswami said, "O king, the son of Divodasa was Mitrayu, and from Mitrayu came four sons named Chyavana, Sudhasa, Sahadeva, Somaka. Somaka was the father of Jantu." Hare Krishna. So in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, even the previous chapter and also the subsequent chapter, there is a lot of detailed description about the dynasty. It's very amazing that it's the ninth canto going on. And I'm sure Parikshit Maharaj must be on sixth day, maybe the fifth day of his hearing. And he is patiently hearing Sukadeva Goswami is going on and on. So we must be wondering why in this situation that so much detail. This is something like in the school when we used to study history about the dynasties of the Mughal dynasty, and so much details about who came and whose sons were there and who was the subsequent heir and from whom which. Of course, in the school, these are very much seriously taught. The children should memorize because the purpose is to get good marks. But there is no spiritual value to this type of memorization. This is just an information to get good grades. But here, when it is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, when there is a detailed mentioning about the dynasties and kings, they are very spiritually potent. Even if someone is remembering all this in detail, he is definitely going to get purified, because this is connected to the most pure person, Krishna. Why Sukadeva Goswami is giving details? Because very soon in one dynasty, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to appear. So the Lord is also very amazing. It is said that the Lord has three levels of understanding. One is Brahman, and another is Paramatma, and the third is Bhagavan. This Brahman realization is not so difficult. There are yogis who by their knowledge, their tapasya, they can come to an understanding. And even Paramatma realization. But to understand that Supreme Lord as Bhagavan, a person, is the most difficult thing. It's very difficult. And the Lord also is in his own sweet will, when he appears in the midst of human civilization, he appears like an ordinary human being. So when he appears like an ordinary human being, obviously there are a lot of especially in India, the questions they will immediately ask about, why did the Lord do this? Why did he kill Jayadrath the way he killed? How was Dronacharya killed? Why did he dance with gopis? Why did he steal their clothes? So many other things. So it is said even demigods and sages are not able to understand. So what to speak about common people. So there is a lot of misunderstanding about the Lord, when he comes and appears and acts like a very ordinary person, of course he also acts same time, sometimes, many times, he shows his supernatural, but they don't ask that. People don't ask that, how did the Lord with one small little finger he lifted up? But the first thing they'll ask, why did he dance in the middle of the night? How can he do that? So this is something which unless there is proper realization that who is this Supreme Lord, and that starts from the 10th canto, and all his activities, they are all divine activities. There are activities, but divine activities means they have no material qualification. They are divine. And this is not easy to understand. That is why Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, he says that janma karma cha me divyam. He says my birth and my activities are divyam, that is divine. But one who understands, evam yoveti tatvata, one who understands, it may appear that, you know, I have understood now. I know that the Lord has appeared like this in the prison house. So once someone asked, what does it mean to understand? I feel I understand, and Krishna assures me that if I understood, tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mam eti sorjano, then I don't have to take birth. I understood. This is transcendental. So the answer given was, understand means to stand under the feet of spiritual master. So unless a person gives up all his yojanas, you know, yojanas means all other desires, it is very natural that when we are in the material world, we have so many desires. Always there is some planning going on for our some higher prospect, some for some promotion, maybe some material more comfort, maybe this desire, maybe that, this. But he said someone who has exhausted all these desires, there is no more desire. Akinchana gocharam. Kunti Maharani. Then you become the proper. Then only he reveals. So it may sound very simple that janma karma, yes, his activities are, I can understand. We know that Krishna comes as a small child. But when he comes as a small child, what strength the Supreme Personality has, the supreme strength that is still there. He doesn't become less. So this is how improper understanding can lead to some type of confusion, because his activities are very ordinary. It so happened once, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying in his preaching, once he came across one person after his preaching, he came out. So near the parking lot, this person came and confronted Maharaj. He said, Swamiji, I can understand that you have done so much of tapasya and austerity, but why are you worshipping Krishna? I have done, he was a Westerner, an American, but he had done PhD in Banaras on Geet Govind. So he said, I have done PhD in Geet Govind. I know all about these demigods and all the different gods, but Krishna I know very well, Geet Govind, what he did. So of all the gods, why you have to worship him? And this person was a PhD in Geet Govind. He has spent several years in Banaras. Of course, his wife was with him, and there was a cigarette in his hand. So Maharaj replied, you have done your PhD, but before doing PhD, did you jump to PhD? Then, no, I had to go through. So you had to go through some very basic understanding. You had to go through school, college, and then. So unless you have understood that you are not this body, you are spirit soul, there is a realization. Then there is a question of understanding this divine activity, especially the activities between Radha and Krishna. Very difficult. And here is a person who can't give up his sense gratification. I mean, what to speak about it? He is smoking and he's holding hand of his wife. And here he's questioning that I have done thesis. I know what is Geet Govind. I know what Krishna did. So that means he was trying to bring into his frame of intelligence, of experience in this life, that Krishna doing this type of activities is something like, you know, common. So it is not something moral. So why you have to worship him? So this is the difference. Unless Krishna reveals. So this Bhagavan feature is very difficult to understand. Same thing in Mahabharata. There is a very ordinary woman. She has not done any PhD. She has not gone through any formal training. Now she also has some relationship, one sense. She happens to be the aunt of Supreme Lord. Now she is speaking, that is Kunti Maharani. One sense she knows that this is my brother's son. So once he's a nephew. But she knows that he may be my nephew, but he is not. Why? Because she had love in her heart. That prema was there. So in that prema, the Lord, whatever form he comes, he cannot hide himself. The one who has got love, even if he comes in disguise, you can see him. No, I know who you are. So this way, she is expressing in this verse, in many of her prayers, this is a very nice verse she is saying. When the Lord is about to lead Hastinapur and go, she is giving one after another. So one of these words she says, Maya javanika chanam ajnat dokshajam aryoyam na lakshase muda drisha natho natya daro yatha. So she is saying to Krishna, you are just like a person who comes in disguise on the stage, an actor. On the stage he comes. But those who are that actor's friends, they may get a little bewildered in the beginning. Who is this person? But then they make out, no, this is so-and-so. I am very sure it is so-and-so. From the voice, from the, he knows. He identifies. So she is saying here that you are just like that. I know who you are. But foolish people, because when you act like an ordinary human being, they are deluded. Javanika means it's a curtain of illusory energy. They will never be able to understand. And how can they understand? You are adokshaja. How can you understand adokshaja through your mind, through your senses, through your intelligence? How much can you stretch? It is impossible. You are an adokshaja, so the foolish people will never understand. But I know who you are. You are the supreme. So this is an expression of her love. So this was the difference between Kauravas and Pandavas. The Pandavas had love for Krishna. So even though he was like a friend, they knew that he is the supreme. But it was not the same with Kauravas. There was a lot of difference. So this is how we understand that it is not any material qualification, but the state of consciousness, what type of a heart you have, you can see. Even if the Lord is present right in front, you may not be able to see. Even if he's right here, you may not be able to see because. So this is very interesting that when Dhritarashtra came to know that Krishna is coming to Hastinapur with a message. So this is just before there was some sign that the war is inevitable. And Krishna is coming. So this Dhritarashtra called all his close associates and all the other ministers, and he declared that Krishna is coming. Now he had his own ulterior motive. He said, we should impress him. We should give him, when he enters our kingdom, people should all go on the outskirts and go and receive him. And then we will offer him all the gold, the jewels, the silver, the pearls, chariots, And we'll see that he stays in Dushasana's palace, because Dushasana's palace was the most beautiful, so better than Duryodhan's. He will stay there. So when you are saying this, Vidura was hearing. So Vidura was saying that, what do you think, that Krishna gets impressed by all your offering? He is Sarvaloka Maheshwara. Everything what is there in the whole Brahmand, everything belongs to him. So how is this going to impress him? So Dhritarashtra had a plan that, you know, maybe if Krishna, he comes on their side, then the victory is definite. So Duryodhan also had the same type of a plan. Duryodhan also planned that when he comes, we will greet him. Because he was seeing him that he is like an ordinary person, but he had some special power. So when Krishna came, Duryodhan went. Duryodhan and received him. So before that, much before that, Duryodhan also agreed with Vidura. He said, yes, yes, we should. I think it will be an insult for him if we give him all the wealth. He will become angry. So Vidura said, what do you think that? You think Krishna is some ordinary person that he becomes angry and he becomes insulted and all? He said, Krishna is beyond all these things. He is not bound by all these dualities, honor and respect and all. This is what you are thinking. So this way Duryodhan, in spite of all these things, he still could not register anything. So when Krishna appeared, so Duryodhan went with all the reception. So he invited him. So Krishna said, see, I have come as a messenger. So till I do that purpose, I have to give the message. I cannot take food. But then Duryodhan insisted, no, no, no. You may not, but I want to treat you as a guest. I want to treat. So that time Krishna said, see, if I had to take bhoga or whatever in your house, usually a person takes food in one person's house for only two reasons. One reason is if that person has a lot of love. He has love for me, so I will take food in his house. Or I am in distress, I am lot of, you know, I am in hunger. So Duryodhan, you don't have any love for me, neither I am very hungry now. So I can't take. So this way, Duryodhan anyway could not give any answer. But we know that how Krishna went to Vidura's house, and next day he came to the assembly, and then he went, sat very close to Dhritarashtra, and he told Dhritarashtra, listen, if you want this whole dynasty to perish, then you should listen to whatever Duryodhan says. Because Duryodhan had a very strange, he had a plan that, you know, he will arrest Krishna. So it is, why he was thinking that if I arrest Krishna, then the Pandavas are so much attached to Krishna, they will lose all their enthusiasm, and then I can defeat them. So this was his plan. So Krishna told Dhritarashtra, see, I can convince Pandavas. They will listen to whatever I say. You just tell Duryodhan. But Duryodhan would not listen. So this was Duryodhan's hatred and anger. So in spite of all this hearing, when it was told that Duryodhan, you should give back, so Duryodhan said, never ever again I'll make that mistake what my father did when I was a child. That mistake I would not like to repeat. This is how he was thinking. But when he comes, I will arrest him. So when Bhishma and Drona and all, they heard that, what is Duryodhan talking about? And whom is he talking about arresting? So Vidura said, Duryodhan, you know, you are just like an insect which is rushing towards the fire. And Bhishma said, Duryodhan, you are like a child playing with fire. You are trying to play with fire. Nothing. when he was told, so he had so much hatred, so much envy. He said, I will not give land that can be placed on the tip of the needle. This was his hatred. And in this hatred, he called out to his guards. The guards came to arrest. And that is the time the Lord showed a Virat Roop. The Virat Roop means everything was within the body, and the Brahma started coming from here, Shiva started coming from here, all the demigods, all the Dikpals, all the power, everything started coming. So when Bhishma, Sanjaya, Dronacharya, they saw, they were so much in ecstasy seeing the form, the same form, it's a Virat form. But the others could not see it. Because they didn't have, of course, Dhritarashtra was both materially and spiritually blind, so he could not see. So after showing this, still Duryodhan was not convinced. Duryodhan still felt that he is some type of a mystic yogi. He is just showing his mystic power. He was still adamant about. So the point is that this Bhagavan feature is the most difficult to understand. But those who are very simple heart, it is one sense very easy to understand. But same time, it is very difficult to understand. So Duryodhan, even though the Lord was right there in front of him, he could not see that Bhagavan feature. So the Lord is, of course, when he comes and acts in a very ordinary way, it's very difficult to understand, or may think that he's also, that is how in our country this is. Oh, Krishna was a big diplomat. Oh, he was a great mystic yogi, or he was this, or he was a kshatriya. He knew to do so many things, but not the aspect of supreme. Of course, even in some sentiments in our country, we hear many, of course, very pious ladies, they talk about Krishna as, oh, I like to worship him like a small child. I feed him. I like to feed him. He's like my small child. Of course, there is some value to that. You are remembering Krishna, but that is not a real understanding. You don't see what bhava is spoken is not an ordinary thing to have that type of a bhava. If a person really has that bhava, that vatsalya bhava, but then he should see in all other activities, then they will not be attached to any type of sense enjoyment. Because you are completely detached, you have so much love for Krishna. But this is also a sentiment to speak that, you know, I like to feed Krishna, he is like my small child. I want to speak about other type of comments. So Krishna is known only through proper realizations, which comes through proper channel. That is serving the spiritual master, and when he reveals. The example given many times, very simple example for our understanding, is the king sometimes he goes to the prison house just to see the welfare of the prisoners. How is everything going on? You know? But then those who are well aware of who is the king, when he enters the prison house, and those who know that, oh, he's the king, what they would do? They would, oh, please, my emperor, please forgive me for all my sins. Please release me from this bondage. That is how he would be saying, because he knows he's the king who has come. But the one who doesn't know that he's the king, oh, he says, oh, one more person. He must also have committed some sin like me, you know. I don't know what type of sin. He looks well dressed, but maybe some type of a... So he will be seeing that he also is like me. So this is the difference, that how a person reacts when he sees the Lord in an ordinary form. Of course, the Lord comes down here again and again. It is said, of course, to give pleasure, to establish dharma, and also to destroy the demons. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya duskritam dharma santaptanayo sambhavami yughe yughe. So there is one small incident where it is said that why does the Lord come? Of course, these are all his qualities, but there is one more quality, which is why he comes down here and again. Why does he come? Is it only for these things he comes? Or there is one more thing? So we all have heard about Akbar and Birbal. So once Akbar said to Birbal, what is this? Paritranaya sadhunam. It is said in the scripture, in your scripture. He comes down. Is your Lord, he doesn't have that power? He doesn't have that shakti? Does he have to come down? Can't he do that, what he wants to do it from there, sitting there? Is he not so powerful? Why he has to come here? What type of a God he is? This is what Akbar asked Birbal. So Birbal said, I will give you answer at the right time. So many days passed. So one day it so happened that Akbar was going for Nauka Vihar. So Birbal was there, Akbar was there, and many other ministers were there. And the escorts were there, the convoy, many soldiers were there to see that the emperor is going for Nauka Vihar. So all his soldiers were also going along with him in the boat. And this time, Akbar had his grandson. His son's son also was there. So during the Nauka Vihar, after some time, Akbar was talking to Birbal. They were laughing, joking in the ministers. That time this small child, just wandering, he just left and no one noticed. And in there just talked this small boy in his own mischievous way. He crossed over the boat and he dropped down into the Yamuna River. So when he dropped down, Akbar, as soon as he saw, he didn't even bother to remove his turban or his clothes. He jumped. And when he jumped, of course, the soldiers also jumped. But before the soldiers could reach, he picked up his grandson from the drowning state and he said, oh, the Lord is saved. It would have so difficult, no? I would have lost my grandson. So that time, Birbal said, Akbar, you had so many soldiers. You had so many other people. Just by your one ishara like this, they would have jumped and they would have picked up your grandson. Why you had to jump? So Akbar started thinking, why did I jump? Then he started looking at Birbal. Why did I jump? So Birbal said, now did you get the answer? So Akbar started thinking, what the answer? You remember you asked me that why does the Lord, why can't he do it from there? Why he has to come down here? Oh, so Birbal got the answer. So he said, okay, Birbal, again this time you defeated me. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. We may say about establishing dharma and all. But all the avatars who have come down again and again, one of the reasons they come is out of compassion. It's only compassion and love for all the living entities. They come down again and again in different form, whatever, and different mission. They fulfill the mission. But the essence is always compassion. Compassion for what? Then why are you suffering here? We all know that this place is so miserable. We have forgotten. There is, of course, those who want to see suffering, you should visit the hospital. You can just come and see. You can see all different types of, from birth to death and in between old age and disease. No one likes to become old. It's very scary. If you see, and you see, this is my age, and this person is 10 years older than me, and he looks like this. So I'll have to look like this. It's very scary. So this is a miserable place. So the Lord is saying, why you want to go through this? Why you are so miserable? Why you want to, so much anxiety, so much fear, so much of what else? We all have experience here in this material world that so many things are there. But still there is hope that I will make this place a perfect place. I will make it here. As it is said in this verse today, that unless we give up this proprietorship, this enjoying propensity, to that degree, we will have to suffer here. Because there is no other way. You know, of course, in coming as very nicely, I think, where is Radhika Vallabh Prabhu very nicely said in one of his class, that why we can't give up our enjoying propensity in even in our devotional service. Devotional service also, you know, we will do what gives me pleasure. I want to, because I want to enjoy. So he was making a point, he's saying, because we have not realized our fallen state. We have not realized that how fallen we are. And we have not realized the value of service to Supreme Personality of Godhead. The value. What is the value of doing service? Because we have not realized, so this enjoying propensity will be there. I want to enjoy. But the degree is there, to that degree. So we are very, very fortunate that what to speak about all these avatar. When the Lord comes in a human form, it's difficult to understand. So what to speak of recognizing Him when He comes in a very guya form? He comes as a very confidential avatar. How many people can recognize Him? Very difficult. And that too, He acts like a, forget about human being, He acts like a devotee. And why does He come? Supreme compassion. What to speak about compassion? Supreme. Why supreme? He wants to give never ever anyone has given. He thought that I have gone again and again, but I have not given that. What is that? I have not given that bhava. What the gopis have love for me. I want to give that freely to everyone in this age of Kali Yuga. So that Bhagavan feature is there in the holy name. Imagine, Duryodhan, when the Lord appeared in front of him, because of his hatred and all, he could not, he see that. But one sense we can experience ourselves, when you are chanting, the Bhagavan form is there in the holy name. How far can we be attentive? No, we can't be attentive because same reason. The degree the heart is filled with so many desires, so much hatred and so much recognition and demand for respect and what to speak about lust and greed and envy and competition and so many things. So that degree, obviously, that attention while we're chanting the holy name will not be there. But still, the Lord is there. The holy name Bhagavan is there. Huh? What is that? Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The form is there. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatva Nama Namino. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought. This is another avatar. Just 500 years back. So this Bhagavan realization has one sense the most difficult. Brahman, Paramatma, then Bhagavan. Same time it can be very easy if with this mood anyone chants with a clear heart. He is close to that Bhagavan form. And in that all the activities, leelas also are there. Isn't it? It is said that the holy name has got the name, the qualities, the form, the activities. So this is the great fortune which is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada left behind for the whole world. No need of any qualification. Here it is said sages and demigods and all, they can't understand. So you don't need, not necessary that you are a PhD, you can understand. But then Maharani Kunti, she could understand because she had that. Same thing Prabhupada said, that anyone can understand. So anyone means anyone can understand. So this is a special opportunity to understand that Bhagavan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Prabhupada. Is there any question?
You know the mystery? I thought it's 23rd.